Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Lane Strasener. Hello, Lane.
Hi, Gary.
So Lane is our community engagement editor here at the News Tribune, and Lane helped us put together this version of our Christmas Wish series. So Lane, first of all, let's talk a little bit about Christmas Wish. What is the idea behind the series?
Every year since 2014, this will be our 10th year doing it, we interview about 6 to 8 clients of United Way partner agencies, and we just tell the stories of how these lives have been changed by the United Way and its partner agencies.
I think the thing that always strikes me about Christmas Wish is every year you think, wow, this was really rewarding, but then is it done? Has it run its course? But then every year I'm just always amazed by the stories that come out.
Yeah, there's always plenty of stories to tell.
These nonprofits in the capital city, they all are part of the United Way network there, and it's just amazing how they impact folks' lives daily. It's just been a real blessing for us at the newspaper to be able to slow down during Christmas season and to really look at how they actually touch people's lives. And so in this 10th version, we had 7 reporters paired up with nonprofits in which they got to talk to the agencies themselves, as well as some of the clients. And so in this podcast, they'll share their stories about what they saw at the agencies, what they heard from the clients, and the impact it has on their lives. So let's listen to what they have to say. So now we have Tara Espinoza. Hello, Tara.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. So, Merry Christmas, first of all.
Well, thank you. Merry Christmas.
Tara is one of the reporters who was working on our Christmas Wish series. So, Tara, what was the nonprofit that you interviewed?
I went to the Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, that's a fun place. So, tell us a little bit about who at the Boys and Girls Club you interviewed.
So, I talked to a student there. His name is Nick Philippak, and he's an 8th grader at Thomas Jefferson Middle School.
That's a fun age. So let's back up for a second. Let's talk about Boys and Girls Club first. So what is their purpose? What's their mission?
So they're a nonprofit that specializes in children in a lot of ways. They're not a daycare. That's like the biggest misconception mm-hmm. about Boys and Girls Club. But they do program like workforce ready, trying to get kids interested in life after school and things like that.
Right, right. Well, and so in this instance with Nick, what drew him to Boys and Girls Club? What does he enjoy there?
So Nick actually has autism and ADHD. He was diagnosed when he was a small child, and his mother wanted him to socialize more. Mm-hmm. And she started talking to the club, and he started going, and now he's making friends. He's enjoying the tech room. He loves Roblox and computers.
Yeah.
And he's also participating in programs like Workforce Ready. He talked about being a welder. So it was really just getting Nick out of his comfort zone and making connections with people.
It strikes me that that's what a lot of kids need, right? Is they need that direction, that someone to network with them, to work with them. What was your experience with those at the Boys and Girls Club?
Well, I have a special place in my heart for a Boys and Girls Club. I used to be an employee at my hometown Boys and Girls Club.
Okay.
So going there and just meeting some kids, even in the hallways as they were running around and playing games and chatting, it was really nice. And then Nick, you know, they told me that a year ago he would never have been able to sit down and have an interview with me. But now that he was able to, it was just amazing to watch and be there for that.
Yeah. So what's your one takeaway from your visit to the Boys and Girls Club this year?
That they do a lot of great things for kids, especially like Nick. They were talking about how they do toy drives and coat drives. They give away sneakers. You know, they help a lot of kids, and I feel like that's amazing.
Yeah. So if someone wants to help the Boys and Girls Club, how might they do that?
They said donate time or donate a toy.
Okay.
They're always looking for volunteers, and right now they have a toy drive going on.
All right. Well, Tara, thanks for joining us. Before you leave, what's your Christmas wish this year?
Probably just spending time with my family. That's my Christmas wish.
And now we have Ryan Pavone. Hello, Ryan.
Hello.
So Ryan's our assistant city editor. He also does a lot of State House reporting coverage for Lincoln, and he did a piece for our Christmas Wish series. So Ryan, I believe you had Capital Projects.
I did, yeah. That was a great visit.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what Capital Projects does.
Yeah. So it's a sheltered workshop. It's a nonprofit. So it employs people with intellectual and physical disabilities who might not otherwise find work in the community. And so they employ about 90 people with disabilities.
Okay. So what kind of work do they do?
They do all kinds of work.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of like an assembly line is a huge part of their production.
Mm-hmm.
So they take on clients like Scholastic or regional newspapers, things like that, you know, produce just like Scholastic would. So they package products and send them off to be shipped away across the country.
So let's talk about one of the people that you interviewed, Rochelle.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Rochelle's story.
Rochelle has a really interesting story. So she started working at Capital Projects earlier this year after about 2.5 years of calling, trying to get a job there.
Mm-hmm.
They finally welcomed her on board. Rochelle had a brain aneurysm about 6 years ago.
Mm.
It was right before her 51st birthday, kind of threw her life off track. She ended up losing her job because of it and the health issues that came along with the aneurysm. She ended up losing her husband a few years later, too.
Mm.
So she moved back to Jefferson City to live with her mother, and that's when she started calling Capital Projects to find a job.
So what does a job at Capital Projects, what does it offer that someone like Rochelle would be so desirous to be there, right?
Yeah. Rochelle really lights up when she talks about her job at Capital Projects, which is really kind of interesting. I don't think you hear a lot of people talk about their job so passionately.
What, you don't?
I do, of course.
All right.
She really has a lot of fun. What she does is she works the assembly line. So she picks products that are then shipped off to, packaged together and shipped off.
My understanding from your story also, it talks about just the camaraderie she has with her coworkers there.
Yeah. So she has a lot of fun. She's surrounded by two coworkers who also work the assembly line, and she has a lot of fun with her friends, she says. I believe their names were Yolanda and Kathy. And so they take lunch together. They chat over food. She talks really passionate about them too. You know, she has a lot of fun with her coworkers there.
Yeah. Clearly, Capital Projects provides a lot of great service, fills a great niche here in the capital city. So if someone wants to help, how might they help continue that?
Yeah, I'm sure they're always looking for more donations, more monetary support. Any way you can support them, I think would be welcome. Yeah.
What was your takeaway from your visit there? What's the thing that just kind of stuck with you?
I think the thing that stuck with me the most was seeing her interact with other coworkers there. Like I said, she has a lot of fun with her coworkers. And she's always interacting with them and just seeing her kind of passion for the work and the nonprofit itself and what it can provide for people like Rochelle is really cool.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too.
We have to ask, what was your Christmas wish?
A lot like Rochelle's, it's just to kind of spend time with family, kind of slow down a little bit and take a few days to see what everybody's up to.
All right. We have with us Alex Naughton. Hello, Alex.
Hey.
Alex is our public safety reporter here. He covers the county government and as well as other public safety areas for the News Tribune as a reporter. So he also participated in our Christmas Wish series. Alex, who is your nonprofit?
So I talked about Common Ground this year.
Okay. So for those who aren't familiar with Common Ground, what is their nonprofit? What do they do?
Basically, they coordinate resources from some different churches and organizations in the community, and they kind of pool their resources and their efforts to help people in need, mostly with finding housing.
Okay. All right. So it's pretty much the unhoused, whether it's getting a place to rent or
helping people who might already be unhoused or trying to prevent that from getting to that point.
Okay. Obviously, housing is a huge issue in the capital city, so they have a very vibrant client base. So who did you speak to at Common Ground?
So I talked to a woman named Kira Lindsay. She's a single mom, 25 years old, and currently working and putting herself through college.
So how does Common Ground help her?
So she found herself, you know, living with her family kind of during the pandemic with a new baby about 3 years ago. And they had so many people in their house that it was just becoming unsustainable. So she went to Common Ground and they were able to help her find first an apartment. And then they also help her with rent for a year.
Okay. All right. And what kind of impact did she share with you that this has had on her?
I think the biggest thing for her was stability. Before this, you know, she had kind of been moving around with friends and then moving back home.
Mm-hmm.
And she craved stability after having her baby. And so being able to find a place to live on her own with her kid and know that she was going to be able to gradually become more independent by having her rent paid each month while also being able to go back to school and, you know, focus on her job, it really just helped her get to a stable place.
Yeah. As we mentioned, there is a housing crisis here in town. So there's a need out there. So how can folks who want to help Common Ground in their mission, how can they do that?
So like a lot of other organizations, you know, they take monetary donations through their website, Facebook, mailing it in, but they also take volunteers work. They, all of their staffing at their physical location is done by volunteers, mostly from the other churches. Mm-hmm. So people can sign up on the website or by calling them or emailing, and they can go and lend time.
What would a volunteer be doing?
Mostly, you know, reception, taking calls for the organization, you know, helping coordinate and set up appointments for people who might be coming in to get help, mm-hmm. and setting them up with the more permanent staff who, you know, coordinate with than the housing.
I gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. So what was your takeaway after having done the story?
It wasn't an organization I was familiar with before. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is a really kind of interesting take on housing, where they're not, you know, something whenever I was talking to Kira that she was worried about is she didn't want to be in Section 8 or just like government housing. She wanted to still feel independent. And so with Common Ground, the way that their program works, they help you find a place and they, you know, help you with rent, but they gradually pay less and less. And so they foster independence. So I mm-hmm. think it's a nice way of letting people grow and become stable on their own and not just throwing them into a place and then leaving them there to figure it out afterwards.
Yeah. Well, Alex, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
So what is your Christmas wish this year?
I think I just really want to be able to give my own kids a good Christmas. I always loved Christmas growing up, and so I hope they have as good of memories of it as I do.
All right. Now we have with us Anna Campbell. Hello, Anna.
Hello.
So Anna's our education reporter here at the News Tribune. So Anna, share who you interviewed for our Christmas Wish series.
I interviewed Amber Weberg, and she's a single mother of three. She has two kids that are going to Little Explorers Discovery Center.
Wow. Little Explorers. Tell folks who aren't familiar with it what Little Explorers is.
Yeah. So it is a early childhood center. And so they have an educational component, but it's also, you know, got the daycare component. Mm-hmm. And they work primarily with working class folks that maybe need a little extra assistance. So that's where United Way comes in and covers some of that cost.
Yeah. I would imagine it's a very active center there.
It's very active.
And was there any lack of energy when you were there?
No.
Yeah, exactly. So tell us a little bit of the story you did.
Yeah. So Amber was in an accident where she fell off of a ladder at her job, ended up breaking her back and her wrist. And so she had a long kind of recovery process with that. And as she was recovering, she couldn't work. And she also had trouble taking care of her three kids, you know, two of whom are under age four. So,
oh, yeah.
So she needed some help and she needed childcare very desperately. Okay. So another person who worked with her and who was also had a kid at Little Explorers reached out to them and said, can you get her in? Can you get her some help here? And so she was able to get her youngest two children enrolled at Little Explorers and really found a lot of support there.
So what kind of assistance do they give working families?
So as I mentioned, United Way will help cover some of that cost to mm-hmm. enroll their kids there. Another thing that Amber mentioned that was a big help to them is that there's a what they call a free table there. Mm-hmm. And so there are donated items like clothing and food and, you know, shoes and that sort of thing that are a big help during that time.
Yeah, it sounds like it's an incredibly important service that Little Explorers provides. So how can folks help?
Well, I would assume that helping out with that free table is something you can do if you have goods like that. And then, of course, United Way is a partner with them. So if you wanted to donate to United Way, you know that your dollars are helping out there.
So what was your takeaway after experiencing the ambiance of Little Explorers, meeting Amber? What was your takeaway from your Christmas wish story?
Yeah, I think it just does some key work. I always like to go to Little Explorers, so I volunteer for those assignments every year when they come up for Christmas Wish. Mm-hmm. And it's a similar story every year. You know, it's a parent that works hard and just needs some help, you know, taking care of their kids and, you know, also getting their kids an education and getting them ready for kindergarten. That's something they're really proud of over at Little Explorers is their educational program. And, mm-hmm. you know, Amber told me she's got two kids that are just, all three of her kids are great learners, but her, you know, her two littlest come home with new knowledge every day. They're coming home saying the alphabet and saying counting in Spanish. And she's just excited to see all they're learning there.
Yeah. It's just amazing how an effect that will have on those children's lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
So what is your Christmas wish?
Can I just make it a merry, you know, a happy new year as well? I'd love to see what 2024 has to bring.
All right. That sounds good. And now we've got Cameron Gerber. Hello, Cameron.
Hi.
Cameron covers business, some state government news for us here as a reporter, and he also participated in our Christmas Wish series. And so, Cameron, who did you interview for our series?
I spoke with Diane Hatfield, who has worked with Central Missouri Foster Care and Adoption Association.
Let's talk a little bit about the association. So what's their mission? What do they try to do?
They assist folks who are participating in foster care and adoption. They assist them from the early stages all the way until through services, sort of even while they are helping out with the children. Diane is actually a foster parent. She is a therapeutic career level foster home where she takes in children with special needs. And it's sort of a journey that she's been on for several years. CMFCAA has been a big supporter of hers and has really helped her along that journey.
How does someone like Diane get into a relationship with this agency?
For Diane specifically, this journey started out with her and her late husband operating as a kinship foster home, which is where you take in someone who's not directly blood related to you. So in this case, it was a friend of her oldest son who needed somewhere to stay. From there and from that experience of helping to take care of that friend, it became something that her and her husband became very passionate about and worked to get sort of certification to be able to do that more.
Yeah.
With help from the organization.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great service that she's able to provide as well as the agency. So how can folks contribute to that mission there?
I think they can reach out to CMFCAA. They have quite an online presence and a lot of resources, and they have a lot of sort of programs that they run that folks can also donate to.
Yeah. What's your takeaway from your visit with Diane and the nonprofit?
My takeaway sort of comes from what she said as was sort of her Christmas wish mm-hmm. going into the season is that what she really wanted and what the children who are now in her care want is just that sense of family and a happy Christmas. And it seemed like it was quite a blessing to her to be able to provide that.
Yeah. Well, Cameron, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you.
And so what is your Christmas wish?
Oh, boy. Nice weather, I think. You know?
All right.
I like it. Calm Christmas. Yeah.
All right. And now we have with us Steffi Smith. Hello, Steffi.
Hello.
So Steffi covers city government for us here at the News Tribune as a reporter, and she too participated in our Christmas Wish series. So Steffi, who is your nonprofit?
It was Aging Best.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Aging Best. What does Aging Best strive to do?
They strive to take care of the elderly community and the aging community in Jefferson City. Their biggest thing, I guess, is providing ready-to-eat meals for elderly citizens mm-hmm. in Jefferson City. And then they also have other little like events.
So in my memory, it's called Meals on Wheels, something like that, where they would bring food, nutritious food. Sometimes it's already prepared to a elderly person's home. Sometimes it's frozen and they just have to throw it in the oven. So it provides a good service to folks who maybe they don't have a good transportation network, don't really necessarily have the desire or the ability to cook, among other services they provide. So I know you talked to one of the clients that uses Aging Best. Who'd you speak to?
Richard Vardaman.
So tell me Richard's story. What brought him to Aging Best and how does he use it?
Well, Richard was wonderful. I like talking to him a lot. His wife is his like main caretaker. She also works and does things in the community, so she can't always be right by his side to cook for him. And so Aging Best is able to like give him a little bit of his independence back and not have to rely on just one person, and just makes his life a little bit easier.
Did he give you any details as to what it's meant for him personally?
Well, he's in a wheelchair, first of all, so he isn't able to stand or walk around his house for extended periods of time. He got paralyzed in, I think, 2014, around that time. So it's been like, and then shortly after they started using Aging Best services. So it also just really helps his like physical health.
Okay.
Because now he doesn't have to overexert himself just for lunch.
Aging Best, again, is a big network here in Central Missouri. So how can folks who are listening, if they want to help them in their mission? How can they help aging best?
Well, they're taking volunteers. And something that Richard Vardaman talked about was how the staff at Aging Best are like really like personal with him. And they actually, you know, are his friends. For example, he was telling us, like, he pointed to his Christmas tree and he was like, we got 4 Christmas ornaments from the driver. And then he was saying like, oh, and also this wooden cross on the wall, like the same driver made that. He's really good with woodwork. And like the Vardaman sign outside their house. So I guess just meeting people in the community.
Helping them feel connected, it sounds like. Wow, that's an amazing story. So after you did the story, what were the feelings that you were left with?
I guess that sometimes you can forget that aging is not only just a privilege, but it can also come with its own problems. But also that it was really nice to meet Richard Vardaman because he was just sitting there very in love with his wife, and he was very, you know, happy to be where he is and be how old he is, but also that it comes with, I guess, challenges and obstacles.
Yeah.
The people always say like, oh, it takes a village to raise a child. I think it also kind of takes a village to help the elderly.
I think that's a very good point. I mean, there are a lot of times where it's important for someone who is elderly to be able to stay in their own home as long as they can, as safely as they can. And when you have services like Aging Best that allow them that ability, it certainly goes to their quality of life, that it's definitely a blessing to them. So, Steffi, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Gary.
So, Steffi, what's your Christmas wish?
My Christmas wish is to be a better journalist.
Now with us we have Mavis Chan. Hello, Mavis.
Hi.
So Mavis covers nonprofits and healthcare here for us at the News Tribune as a reporter. She also participated in our Christmas Wish series. And so Mavis, who is the nonprofit that you interviewed?
The Rape and Abuse Crisis Service.
Okay. Commonly called RACS around here, right? What kind of service do they provide the public?
Well, so it's mainly a domestic violence shelter.
Okay.
And apart from the shelter, it operates in Jefferson City. It also provides advocacy services, like various outreach services, case management for domestic violence survivors, emergency, like critical interventions.
Mm-hmm.
For domestic violence survivors and first responders.
Sure.
And the nonprofit operates in 9 central Missouri counties.
Okay. It always struck me when I first heard of RACS, gosh, it's been 15 years or so ago, that it provides an incredible service. And this is during a time usually of emergencies, right? Where there's been a domestic abuse case or an incident.
Right.
And so as a result, the victim of the violence and perhaps children will seek out shelter there. The location's really not disclosed. It's for their protection. They provide a very valuable service through the years to the capital city. So in this instance, who did you speak to at RACS?
I spoke with the executive director, who's Angela Hirsch, about one of her clients. For confidentiality purposes, we'll call her Sue in the story.
Yeah.
And Sue is a woman from Cole County that went to the RACS shelter in late summer this year.
Mm-hmm.
And she just recently, you know, escaped from a physically and financially abusive relationship. And she went to RACS with basically 3 wishes in mind.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to get her own housing, and she wanted to improve her credit score, and she wanted to complete her secondary education. And in the few months that she stayed with RACS, it seems like RACS really helped her kind of achieve all those goals that she had.
Yeah. It strikes me that a lot of times the victim has basically the clothes on their back when they leave, and it's a difficult hole to dig out of, if you will. It might even seem easier on their part to stay in the abuse because it's so unknown, and RACS helps fill in those holes to help make success achievable. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, from interviewing like Angela, it does seem like for a lot of survivors, they do face a lot of obstacles when trying to get out, especially, I guess, in central Missouri, where in a lot of counties, there weren't that many resources.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite hard for a lot of them.
So obviously, RAX is a member of the United Way Network, so it's a agency that benefits from United Way funding. How else can the community help RAX?
As Angela said, they really value people's time, talents, and treasures.
Okay.
And so time, they welcome volunteers to maybe help with answering their hotlines and just like maybe helping with childcare, and then with talents. So apparently they don't have a maintenance team or, you know, a repair person. So mm-hmm. if anybody is talented in those areas, like they'll be really happy, really grateful for their help. And right. as for treasures, RAX needs funding, and mm-hmm. it has also kind of recently lost a grant, and they're also trying to pivot more to community donations instead of like government grants to sustain their operations. So yeah, they'll really welcome like community donations, like monetary donations.
All right. So what was your takeaway after you did this story? What feelings did you have after you were finished with it?
I'm just really glad that a nonprofit like RAX exists in the community. And I'm really happy for Sue. And I heard that from Angela, I heard that, you know, she's now moved into her own apartment and she's planning on taking classes and taking her HISAP exam to get her high school diploma equivalent. So I'm really happy for her. And yeah, as for RAX itself, I do hope that RAX can continue to operate on its current level, and hopefully that it can sooner rather than later, like start its children's program so it can help even more people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I guess like as a woman myself, I'm glad that RAX is here. I don't want it to, you know, go out of business.
Sure. Well, Mavis, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You too.
And what is your Christmas wish?
Well, I'll be working here on Christmas Day. So, you know, if anyone wants to come in and say hi.
All right.
Wow, Lane, just listening to those stories, I mean, they just tug at your heartstrings.
They really do.
Our whole goal of this is that you will have the opportunity to hear these stories, to read these stories. So in our show notes, Lane will share with you some of the things where you can go deeper into these stories, these nonprofits, to get a better understanding of what they're doing and who they're helping.
Yeah, check out our show notes. We'll have links to the stories, which also include videos where you can see the clients at their nonprofit that's helped them. Then we'll also have the nonprofit's 990 forms as well for you to view.
I think those 990 forms are really important. We make a point of it every year because, honestly, these nonprofits need support. And they're very transparent about how they spend their money, who they spend it upon. And so this gives you an opportunity to have confidence, to give confidently and generously, and we encourage you to do so. So please check out our show notes, see how you can provide help, whether it's financially or time or volunteering. So Lane, thanks for helping us with this series.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
And I've got to ask, what's your Christmas wish?
My Christmas wish is to eat a lot of food and to spend time with family.
All right, listeners, have a Merry Christmas, and we'll see you in the next podcast.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.